Sector 2, move into position. Units 3 and 4, maintain coverage of Sector 7.
Copy that.
Listen now, Mr. Kansas Law Dog. Law don't go around here. Savvy?
Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now.
Get them up and move them out, boys.
Come with the territory. Ask any cop, he'll tell you. If you can't stand the heat, you better stay out of the kitchen.
I wish I was a kindergarten teacher. But I'm not. I'm a cop. That's all I know how to be.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Supernatural Christian Podcast with your host, Bruce B. Len.
Okay, it's that time of week again where you get to listen to the wonderful podcast of Bruce B. Len and Jake the Snake Rukakowski are coming at you tonight, and we are going to be talking about 2021. Anybody tired of 2020 yet?
I think I've only got one in the audience. Right now,
you're supposed to say something. Oh, you see some hands? I see that hand. Yeah.
I'm just telling you. I'm raising both.
Oh, okay. I've got both hands and one foot up just to kind of get through this year. But here's the deal. One of the things the Lord has shown me in the last few years, he's shown me in my career as a peace officer. He's shown me in my career as an administrator. He's shown me in my career as a pastor. He's shown me as a husband. He's shown me as a friend. He has shown me that what I'm about to talk about tonight is so important. And I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we may even, Jake, over-spiritualize the fact that having good God-given goals and purposes and working toward those things is what God's called us to do. Because I think a lot of us sit and we wait for it to be prayed for, and we'll fall down and get up and maybe we'll be fixed, or I don't want to take away from the Holy Spirit at all, because without him we can do nothing. But the bottom line is there are some real biblical principles about goal setting, and I just want to talk about a few of those things tonight. And I'm hoping, Jake, that you'll come up with a few goals for your own self.
Well, I think I can probably do that. I'll try and come up with a few. One is get through this podcast. That's the first one. I think I can probably do that. Second is get up on time for work.
Where my wife doesn't come kill us both, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the quick blade there. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, that's great, man. I think goals are a good thing to have. I think everybody should have one, because let's face it, if you don't set a target, you're gonna miss target, because basically just shooting somewhere else.
Well, and what did the guy tell me? You know, one time they're looking at, we're talking about, could you hit that from here? And I said, yeah, all I have to do is get really, really close, you know. And here's the thing, sometimes we set our goals like that. But let me give you a couple of quotes here. Earl Nightingale said, we become what we think about. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I just want to tell you, Jake, I came up with this saying, I heard it many, many, many years ago, but if you can't see it, you can't be it. I don't know how many times I've been talking to people and they say, well, I just don't see that happening. When a person says that and they can't see it happening, and I'm not talking about some kind of new age something other, but when it's outside the realm of their faith or their belief, right, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, chances are. So just to give you a couple of quick statistics here, goals help you to live your life by design. And here's some research that, and I stand on this research and I believe it. It says approximately 3 to 5% of the population achieve 50 to 100 times more than people with goals in their heads. That 3 to 5% are the people who actually write down their goals and keep them before them. And I want to tell you, man, I experienced this. I am 62 years old, and I got married and I was 24, and I've always been a very goal-driven person. And because of some of the teaching that I've had and some of both in church and out of church and management. And as I began to, I was kind of approaching my 30, I was getting close to 30. I sat down with a pencil and paper, and I actually remember the room and the house where it happened and where I was at and which house, and can't tell you the year or, I know it was, I had probably about 28 years old. And I sat down with a pencil and paper and a legal pad and sat down and wrote down, there was about 10 items. And I wish I could tell you those, but some of them I cannot share with you, okay? And I wrote down 10 things, and I didn't spend a lot of time in prayer about it. I was standing on the scripture that says, you know, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And I wrote those 10 things down, okay? And I kept those things, and I don't mean I got up every morning and, you know, like incantation or something over those. It's not what happened at all. What happened is I'd go back and review them. I thought about small steps, and we'll talk about that in a minute, of how to get to those goals. And every decision I made during the day, I would decide in light of those goals. Now, I don't mean compromising my morality or compromising my integrity or compromising my walk with the Lord. Those weren't up for grabs. But, you know, just because something was a little uncomfortable or because something, I would do that thing as it walked toward that goal. And then what I realized, it would have been, and I was just past 50 years old, that list had been completely exhausted. I had done everything on that list. I had obtained everything on that list. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's not because God loves me more than anybody else at all. It's because I wrote those down. I focused. I prayed. I took those steps to do that. And those things happened. Now, I'm starting a new list, Jake. And I'm putting some things on this list that I should have put on my first list. Because some of the things that I put on my first list. No.
You're going to ride a bull, aren't you?
Well, I'm full of bull, but I don't know about riding a bull. But anyway. But here's the deal. I literally, I'll give you an example of what one of those was. Okay. One of those on there is that I wanted to complete my undergraduate degree. I had been to college when I made that, when I wrote that down. I'd already been to college probably 3 times and failed at graduation. And I don't mean that I got the hours and then couldn't pass the test. I mean, I would go for a year and I'd quit. I'd change my major and go for a year and get bored and quit. And that was something that my dad really thought was important to have your degree, and I think it's important. But what I ended up doing was I just continued to go back. It took me, and I'm not exaggerating, it took 8 tries for me to graduate with a bachelor's degree. Oof. I am ADD, okay? I have some issues with learning. And it took, and it was hard for me to stay focused, but it took me 8 tries. But I found a program, a business program. It was called a degree completion program. And what I did is I tied all of that together, and I got in that program, and they shot me through that tube, and I was graduated at the end in like 18 months. But it took a lot of work. It took getting up early in the morning. I had to make choices. I had to make sacrifices. But that was one of the things on that list. So that's the kind of things I'm talking about. And I just would like to see people.
you got a PhD, right? Post-hole digger?
No, I have a Pentecostal hairdo. But I've had that way before. I had my bachelor's of science. Anyway, so here's the first point I want to make. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Because
sure.
I want you to be writing these down and living this part of your life. It's going to change your life.
Taking notes.
Okay.
Taking notes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll get your big chief pencil out. Because the first thing I want to tell you is the enemy will come and try to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can steal your dream, if he can take your dream by low self-worth, by perceptions of failure, by whatever, by false teaching, if he can steal your dream, then what he's done is he's won the battle. It's almost like cutting off the source to a plant. It may look really good there for a while, but it will begin to shrivel after a while. And I want to tell you, the enemy in 2020 has tried to steal, kill, and destroy people's dreams. I know this is a time of COVID. I know this is a time of political upheaval. I know this is a time of fear for a lot of people. But I just want to tell you, I truly believe in my heart, in my spirit, I believe that this is not a time to shrink in, but it's a time to say, God, what are you telling me? What is my dream? What should I do? And then put it to paper. Literally put it to paper. And I know some people don't even use paper anymore. Put it on your phone. Put it on your, you know, write it out, take a picture of it, look at it every day, whatever. But the first thing in this goal setting process is decide what you want. What is God telling you that you should do? He has whispered some things to me, Jake, through the years, and I believe it is time for me to write those down and begin to pursue that very thing and start making the choices for those things that he has whispered to me and decide what you want. I read an article today that I wrote like 8 years ago for a newspaper somewhere. I'm not even sure which one it was, but they wanted me to write something. And I wrote the story about how I got my Iron Butt badge, where it's going over 1,000 miles on a motorcycle in under 24 hours. And it sounds like a lot, but it's not that bad. It's something to talk about. But anyway, the point being is my dad was ill. He had cancer, and I was driving back and forth from Arkansas on my Harley, and it was, you know, it's like 300 miles down there, and I pulled into a gas station. These guys were there, and they had these bills that your license plate fits on, and it says World's Toughest Riders. And I'm thinking, wow, what is that? And I saw under it said Iron Butt Association. So you know me, I talk to everybody, and I'm up there. I'm saying, hey man, tell me about this. And he says, oh, just go online, look at it. There's different categories, and it's endurance riding. And I said, okay. Well, I went on there, and the lowest one is 1,000 miles in under 24 hours. And I thought, man, of course, up until before then, the longest I'd done in a day was like 500, 600 miles. And so I decide that's something I'm going to do. Well, I plan the day. I plan where I'm going from Crane, Missouri to Holbrook, Arizona is 1,052 miles by the highway, by this route. I couldn't stop at 1,000 because it was the middle of the freeway and there's nowhere to spend the night, so I had to go 1,052 miles. So I left very early one morning. You have to get somebody to sign off on the thing. Went to the convenience store, topped off my tank, and signed off on this thing, wrote down my mileage, and then every time you get a receipt, you keep your receipts, and then when you get to your goal, then at the end of it, somebody else signs off on it, and you know, you have your receipt and it's time stamped and everything. Well, I got about, it rained. It was cold. It was nasty. I was miserable. I was, it was, and I got about, I don't know, out in the middle of the desert somewhere, and it was freezing, and I was wet, and I was miserable. And I pulled in at this truck stop, and I went in, and I looked in the mirror, and I looked horrible. I looked like I was dying. I asked myself, looking at self, and what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, you're talking. What?
No, I just said you said you're looking horrible, and I was like, I could believe it. Go ahead,
Don. I'm tired. I don't want to hear you about. I don't want you to talk about my appearance. I'll have to come over there and straighten you up. So anyway, I began to talk to myself in the mirror. And I said, is this something you want? Do you want this? Is this something that you want? And, you know, and I had to make up my mind. I mean, why not just stop now? Why not stop? Is this something you want? And that's what you have to decide. Is this something you want? And, you know, I thought about it. I prayed about it, standing right there in the bathroom. I was warming up, by the way. And then went out there and got back on the bike, topped off, prayed up, and left, and went another 300 and something miles, and you know, for it I got a little tin badge, but it was a accomplishment that I wanted to do, and you can't quit in the middle of that thing. You've got to keep going. So decide what you want. Don't be wishy-washy. You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what the Bible says. Then write it down. And what you're doing when you're writing it down, you're making a covenant with yourself. You're deciding this is what you want to do. And then here's the complicated part. Then break it down into steps. What can I do now that is a step toward that? What can I do now? And manageable steps, because a lot of times it's just overwhelming, you know, looking at it into one thing. And then write down a plan for that step. Okay, if you're going to get a bachelor's, then you need to find a college. Okay, you find a college, you say, okay, now I need to find a major, figure out what you're interested in. Then you begin to say, okay, if I want a bachelor's, is there an intermediate step there? Is there an associate degree that I can get? And put your energy into that. And, you know, that's how people become physicians. That's how people become dentists. That's how people, you know, go through training. That's how you become a Navy SEAL. You don't become a SEAL by being not a SEAL. And then the next day you're a SEAL. You have to take step by step by step. You just have to make it through the next day. So break it down into steps and set yourself goals, target goals, brother, dates. And I believe it Carrey, what's the comedian's name? Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, yeah.
At one point wrote himself a $2 million check and carried it in his wallet and had a date on it 10 years out. And he would get that out and look at it. What do I need to do to be this actor? How do I going to be, you know, what are the steps that I can take? And Jim Carrey, that check when he made Dumb and Dumber, that's when he was able to cash that check for $2 million. But it took him 10 years.
One of the greatest films on the planet, by the way. It's so deep. If you guys haven't seen Dumb and Dumber and you want a spiritually uplifting experience, you need to go check it out. You will be blessed.
That's not my endorsement. Maybe that's yours. So
I'm just kidding.
Then you have
go ahead.
Then you visualize. If you can't see it, you can't be it. And here's the deal. If you don't ever see something being able to happen, if you don't see God being able to take you to that place, if you don't think that it's possible, then it's not. And then what does the Bible say about your tongue? Your tongue is a rudder. And if you're sitting there saying, oh, that's never going to happen, I can promise you, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to fulfill the very thing that you said. You will not reach your goal. I have people in my life that some of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Some of them are still around, and it's constant negativity. It's like, well, that's never going to happen. Well, that's not going to. Well, you're right. It will not happen to you. And literally, they will be talking, and they'll say, well, you know, that's not going to happen. I say, well, it may not happen to you. It may not happen in your lifetime, but it will happen in my lifetime. because I'm going to speak faith and truth over things that God's told me. And I can see it happening. I speak it that it's happening. And I don't mean going out and laying hands on your votes or laying hands on your Honda and turn it into a Harley. What I'm saying is that literally saying, you know what, God, I want your will. I want what you have for my life. And the last one is just you just refuse to give up, because the person who wins the race has to finish the race. Habakkuk 2:2 says, make it plain, write it down on the tablet so that the one who runs, it'll be plain for him. And write it down. Make it plain. Numbers 13:33. We seemed like grasshoppers in our sight. That's when the spies were going over there and they saw the sons of Anak or whatever his name is, the giants, all that. And they said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and they could not go into the promised land with that attitude. Luke 14:28, when you're going to build a tower, you consider what's it going to take to build that tower before I commit to that. And so when you write that down, decide, is that something that you want? Is this something that will bring glory to God? Is this something? I'm not talking about fulfilling the lust of your flesh. I'm talking about fulfilling the desires of your heart, your dream. Don't let the devil steal your dream.
Amen. That's good, man. That's good. Goals are an important thing that, man, I need to set more goals in my life, Bruce, you know. I've got passion.
You are my poster child for this sermon, but go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, you basically wrote this for me, apparently, because I've got passions and desires and things like that, but I can't tell you that I've really sat down and set a lot of goals. So my goal tonight is, after the show is done, to sit down and set goals. So my first goal is to actually set goals. My second goal will be
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's a great starting point. And I think everyone listening, you need to sit down and write yourself some goals and put them up on the Frigidaire where you can see it, because we all like to go to the Frigidaire. I'll tell you right now, if I need to see something, it's going to be on the refrigerator. That's a place that I'm going to be hitting up quite a bit. God speaks to me there at the refrigerator.
Well, and here's the deal. I mean, I have a painting in my house. This is going to sound crazy. I saw it many, many years ago. And I went out and I bought a print of the painting. And if not every day, at least 4, 5, 6 times a week, I'll walk by that painting on the wall. And I touch it. Because that's what God's called me to do and to be. And I touch it and agree with what God's called me to be. I agree with it. It's not a big production.
What's the painting,
I don't. Bruce? I'm not going to tell you.
Roy Rogers.
It's a grasshopper.
Is it a clown, Bruce? Is it a clown?
It is not a clown.
Is it a rodeo
clown? It's not a
clown
or a monkey. It's not a clown or a monkey.
Well,
if you act right, I may show you someday.
Next time I come over to your house, I'm just going to start looking for paintings on the wall. That's awesome, man.
It's just the truth. I mean, I just literally walk over to it and I put my hand on it and I agree. I just agree with it. That's all.
The same thing. The same thing happens. I was going to say the same thing happens to me when I reach my hand into a box of Little Debbie's. Something very similar.
Well, yeah. You agree that the rapper will. I speak to that rapper. Get that rapper off of there. I'm speaking to it.
I'm looking for the box right now, but I think Sarah hid it from me, I think. But anyways.
That does happen.
I want to mention something else that you and I have talked about tonight, and that is revival in the Ozarks. I'm going to read you a little article here written. Well, it's about Corrie Ten Boom stated, basically said, the Lord has told me that the center of the Christian movement in the United States will begin in Northwest Arkansas. Said a year or so later, standing in a field of North Harrison, and in her spirit she saw angels with drawn swords, five deep as far as her spiritual eyes could see, as a protection of the Ozarks, flying in a plane over the region, and said that the Spirit of the Lord was over the region and that it will become a place of refuge. Other people have talked about revival in the Ozarks. I've heard about it over the years from various people. I know it's been one of your prayers. What is your experience, and what do you feel like, where is this headed, do you believe, for this region that we live in here?
I will be just totally blunt and frank. I was on a recreational trip with my wife, so it had to be over 30, let's see, Gideon's 32, so I want to say 35 years ago. We've been married 38 years, so we've been married a couple of years. We were right on the Arkansas-Missouri line, actually at the very south end of Berry County, or Stone. I won't know exactly where we're at when this happened. We're down around Table Rock Lake, and I was actively involved in ministry in another place, and I was setting. It was in a recreational area. I can't remember if it was a park, something like a picnic table. And I was praying and reading my Bible, and it was nice out. And I was with a group of people, and everybody was doing, you know, something else. Everybody was somewhere else. And Jake, the Spirit of God became so strong and began to just roll up in me. And I began to cry and weep and intercede over this area. And literally, with no intention of ever coming here, ever. And he began to show me scriptures about revival. And he began to show me scriptures about God having geographical areas that he dwells. And listen, I want to tell you, I had just told my wife earlier that day, there's no way I could ever live here. The roads are too crooked. I can't get anywhere that good and car sick. I mean, literally, I had just said that. And I laugh about it because there's no, you know, you never tell God you're not going to do something. But I wasn't talking to God. I was talking to my wife. Anyway, so, and I'd always told Kim I couldn't live up this far north because it was cold, you know, because she's from Kansas City and we'd be coming home to South Arkansas and I'd be freezing. I'd say, it's freezing up here. Why would anybody live up here? Anyway, so literally I went back home and began to cry and pray and fast and call out to God for the area that I was living in. And he began to reveal himself to me, began to show me things that were going to happen. And some of the things that he revealed to me there, which I thought was for there, were actually for here. See, we see darkly. We always act like we know exactly what we're doing. We are humans. We are physical beings trying to see into the spirit. And here's the deal. The things that I saw, including some of the videos that we've made, including some of the speaking and live streaming and now this podcast, I saw those things then and had no idea how that would ever happen or what that would look like. But here's the deal, Jake. God is doing something in this area. He is doing something in this area and has been for a while. And what his timeline is, I do not know. But I did not know anything about Corrie Ten Boom and what she had prophesied over this area or any of that stuff till way after. Oh, no, that was that Corrie Ten Boom or was that?
Yeah, it was Corrie Ten Boom, and they've got another person on here too. This little article I'm reading, someone named Nora Lamb. They were on a commercial airliner over the Ozarks, and suddenly they saw a massive ring of fire stretching from the horizon down below. There's other people too. I just need to do some more research on it because I've heard. I mean, I've heard different people talk about revival in this area. I just haven't researched it, but there's been quite a few people that have spoken about revival in the Ozarks and in the Midwest right. region in general. I know. I think one of the guys I followed, Russell Walden, he talked about a coming revival that would take place in the backwoods regions of America, meaning like the country, right. country regions, like all over the U.S. God was going to right. start, you know, a wildfire in the country regions there. I believe part of the reason why I ended up down here is probably for that very reason, but I have yet for God to confirm some of those things. One thing that I think is interesting, though, Bruce, when I came down here for the job that I took down here, I met you probably 4 weeks into the job that I was doing. You came up to my work. We talked. I got to meet you, talk to right. you. And then it was like, man, it was maybe less than 2 weeks later, I was up in Kansas City. I was standing in Union Station, and I saw somebody walk past me, and I looked down, and I saw this ring on this hand, and I said, that's Bruce, because I recognized the ring first. I saw the ring on your hand, and I looked up, and there you were, and I was like, what are the odds? I'd never seen you before. I mean, it was crazy, man. Right there in Union Station, I didn't even know you were heading up to Kansas City. At that point in time, I knew, I was like, God's doing something here. This is not just chance, right. you know.
And yeah, I remember that whole incident. And here's the deal, Jake. God is not limited. Even he's just not. I don't know if you heard Zeb Sunday morning, but Zeb Zeb is a guy that we work with at the church, and Zeb's a wonderful man of God. And he's a young man, and he was talking about if the gross national product, somebody's done the math on this way smarter than me, okay, but if the gross national product of the United States, they saved it all for 7,000 years, and I don't know how much money that is, they could power the sun for 1 second. That's how much it would cost. And
wow.
And I don't know why I keep laughing at that, but, I mean, that's a light bill there, son. And here's the deal. God is not straining to pay that light bill. He is not straining. He spoke that into existence. That's our God. That's God. God's not straining to pay for that. He spoke that into existence at creation, and it's still going. And that's who I'm following. That's who I'm following. And
well, and that,
I
that
just,
kind of, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
I this kind of segues into something that God has revealed and showed me recently to just operate in a different realm, is that, you know, for years I've prayed for different things. I've prayed for some equipment. You know, it's been difficult for me to get things going with what I want to get doing, you know, with what I want to do as far as the ministry related stuff, the streaming, you know, different things I've wanted to be involved in. It's just been, I haven't always had the extra to get what I wanted to get equipment wise. I've been praying for the longest time, God, you know, I need equipment. I need this, that. I started listening to this gentleman that talked about receiving from heaven, and basically the gist of his teaching was basically that You know, God is always broadcasting. He's always sending the signal out there. It's not an issue of God providing. It's not an issue of Him speaking to us. He's constantly trying to speak to us. It's, are we receiving? Have we set ourselves up to receive? Do we believe we can receive? You know, like you talked about before with your words and how you speak and everything, if you're constantly speaking negatively and you're saying this and that won't happen, you're basically shutting the doors of blessing into your life by coming into agreement with the opposite of what God wants for you. You know, you said you said earlier, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we come into agreement with, what we put before us, is what's going to manifest in your life, because that's what, that's how you're thinking. That's what you've allowed into your life. Well, he started to basically speak on this stuff about receiving from heaven, and I just began to cry out to God, and I said, God, you know what? I receive every good thing you have for me. Everything I've been praying for, God, I receive it from you. I believe you can do it. And I begin to tell God, I believe you're able to do it. I come into agreement with you for what you have for my life. And as I started to do that, Bruce, I literally got $7,000 in editing equipment and a motorcycle, like, in a single weekend. And there's been more stuff that's been happening. But, guys, it's not mystical. It's not magic. It's nothing like that. It's about faith, and it's about coming into agreement with God. He wants a partnership with you in your life to lead, direct you, and guide you. You have to come into belief with Him. You have to trust in Him. The Psalm 91 talks about, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Getting into that secret place, it's abiding in God. It's entering into that. That's a place that you go to. It's not a place that just happens on its own. God's not just going to come up one day and overtake you and make it happen. Like Bruce was talking about earlier, you got to make steps. You got to set goals. And I would encourage everyone out there that's listening to this, set a goal to pray every day. Set a goal. You know, if you're a spirit-filled believer, set a goal to speak in tongues every day. Since I've heard some of the teaching from the same individual I was listening to, he talked about praying in tongues. That's one of the most important things you can do. As I started doing that on a daily basis, it's just created an entire shift in my life. The power of the Spirit. The thing is, when you pray in tongues, you can't pray wrong. You're praying from the Spirit. And, you know, a lot of people say tongues isn't for today. Well, you can't convince me otherwise at this point, because I've received that gifting. I mean, once you've been somewhere, you can't talk somebody out of it. But, If you're not spirit-filled and you haven't received that gift, seek God and pray every day and begin to speak out. You speak out His word. Call upon Him. Begin to believe what He says about you. Begin to come into agreement with that. You know, Adam and Eve came into agreement with the enemy on his plan for their lives, and it brought death and destruction. You know, we need to come into agreement with God on what He says. Go ahead, Bruce.
No, and here's an interesting, and I remember literally the first time, I can't put a date on it, but literally the first time that God really shined a light on the scripture. It's Jesus is standing there, and He says, all power, all authority has been given to me. And then He says, He doesn't say, now everybody go out and see how much money you can make and build a big steeple. No, what He said was, so, go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the point that I'm making is this: all of this is not so that we can have gold-plated stuff in our kitchen or have an air-conditioned doghouse. What all of this is for is for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to encourage, to edify, to love, to heal, to feed, to give people water. That's the purpose of all of this. This power is not a parlor trick. This is not something that we do to bring attention to ourselves. And don't get me wrong, that editing equipment, that's the stuff that God is doing for you, that is to be used. That's what it's for. And don't get me wrong, I think the Lord wants you to have air conditioning. I think the Lord wants you to be able to pay your bills. But we've got to be so careful that we don't become tied up in the things, the gifts versus the giver. the giver is what we are giving people, not
right.
the gifts.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Well,
so you can write Bruce, Post Office Box 224, and you can send. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can get a
bottle of holy water. Going into my commercial.
I'm just kidding. There's no holy water. We don't have any of that. We just got some well water. Bruce might pray over it for you. I don't know. Got lots of calcium in it.
Well, I'm ready to pull this thing down. I tell you this, though, Jake, I do want to mention oldlawdog.com on Facebook. We stream our services, or actually stream our sermons every week. Occasionally we'll stream some praise and worship, but guys, if you are about 30, 35 minutes on Sunday morning, and it stays up on that Facebook page, and I share it to Bruce Kim Beelan Facebook. That's my personal page, and if you want to send a message, reach out, prayer request. I would love to hear from you if you're hearing this podcast tonight.
And if somebody wants to come to the Center of the Universe in Crane, do they have a motel there that they can reside at
no,
and be able to come to the Sunday
no,
morning?
No, but we're going to put some camper hookups.
Yeah.
No, you know, here's
the deal. I won't
lie,
there's not much there. It's the center of the universe, but there ain't much there.
We are literally, Crane is literally 32 miles from Springfield, which has a lot of nice places to stay. Got Republic's got places. You're not far from Eureka Springs, North Arkansas, Fayetteville, all that's at the other, you know, probably 50 miles. Branson, Missouri, the country music capital of the Ozarks, is 32 miles. So you got a lot of places to stay.
And there's some great motorcycle riding country out there. I've seen some.
Oh, my word. It is the best.
If you're a bike rider.
It is the best, and it's a little bit chilly right now.
You say that's your therapy,
but,
isn't it? Getting behind the wheel, behind those handlebars is the best. Is better than any therapist you're ever going to get.
It is for me. It really is. I've prayed many, many hours, earbuds blasting, and just life behind bars is what we call that. It's a good thing.
Awesome. Well, Bruce, why don't you pray for everybody before we go tonight? And this has been very fascinating and uplifting discussion.
Father, I thank you so much for your grace, because it's by your grace. It's because of your love. It's because of your desire for your people. That's why I'm here. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you chose us, selected, preordained, predestined us, God, from the foundation of the earth, Lord. Those who are listening, God, are those who you called. Lord, bless them, help them, and Lord, give us direction on our goals. Help us decide what you want us to accomplish, O God. Not in our lusts, but not also in our fear. But Lord, in your spirit, not by might and not by power, but by your spirit, Lord, that we would be who you've called us to be. And that we would be goal setting, goal reaching, Lord, that as you showed me, Lord, as I pursue you and pursue your kingdom and the goals you have for us, God, help us to guard our mouth and say the things you have to say, to guard our hearts, Lord, and think in our mind and think the way you think, God, that you do love us, that we don't have to have a low self-esteem, Lord, that we are worth what we were paid for, and that's our salvation was paid for by the Son of God, Lord, his very blood. So, Lord, bless these people. Help us, oh God, be the men and women you've called us to be. And Lord, watch over us during this time of confusion and problems. Help us, oh God, be true to you in all ways. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, we'll catch you next week for another exciting episode. God bless you, and we'll see you then.